Dear friends in Christ, I wish to extend to you a most blessed feast day today, and that is, of course, the feast of Christ the King. And as we just read in the Holy Epistle, we are reminded by St. Paul to the Colossians of the power of Christ, and that is the power over all heaven and earth, creator of all things visible and invisible. We celebrate an anniversary today. Exactly 100 years ago, in 1925, a great pope, Pope Pius XI, wrote an encyclical, a papal letter to the world, and gave us this feast of Christ the King in the year 1925. His encyclical entitled Quas Primas, and I want to read to you just a few words from this great pontiff of time immemorial. And as with all of the true popes of the Church, they have always simply reaffirmed what the Church has always taught, because the faith always remains the same. So just reading briefly, not all of it, of course, but a few words from Pope Pius XI. He says, "It has long been a common custom to give to Christ the metaphorical title of King, because of the high degree of perfection whereby he, Christ, excels all creatures. And he is said to reign in the hearts of men both by reason of the keenness of his intellect and the extent of his knowledge, and also because he is very truth, and it is from him that truth must be obediently received by all mankind. He reigns, too, in the wills of men, for in him the human will was perfectly and entirely obedient to the holy will of God, and further by his grace and inspiration he so subjects our free will to incite us to the most noble endeavors, spiritual, the supernatural." He goes on to say, "He is King of hearts, also by reason of his charity, which exceedeth all knowledge, and his mercy and kindness, which draws all men to him, for never has it been known, nor will it ever be known, that man be loved so much and so universally as Jesus Christ." But if we ponder this matter more deeply, we cannot but see that the title and power of King belongs to Christ as man in the strict and proper sense too. For it is only as man that he may be said to have received from the Father power and glory and a kingdom, since the Word of God, Christ himself, the Word of God, as consubstantial with the Father, has all things in common with him, and therefore has necessarily supreme and absolute dominion over all created things. So those are just a few beautiful words from, again, Pope Pius XI, 100 years ago, and establishing this feast for the last Sunday of October before the celebration of All Saints' Day, which was one of the announcements I did forget to make to remind the faithful. This coming November 1st, as you know, is a holy day of obligation, the obligation to attend Holy Mass and to avoid unnecessary servile work. But again, a reminder of the kingdom of Christ in heaven and on earth, and the power that our divine Lord has, and that we must honor him as we do today with this great feast. One of the reasons Pope Pius XI gave us this feast is because 1925 came shortly after, as you know, World War I, and the terrible death that came about from that war needlessly, and as Our Lady said at Fatima in 1917, war is the punishment for sin. When we look at this feast historically, we look at the last 2,000 years and what has happened. We see that Christ came to earth, he established the church, that there were 10 major persecutions after Constantine, the church came above ground. There was the Middle Ages and the monks and the monasteries and the building of the cathedrals and Catholic society, which flourished through that period of the Middle Ages. And truly, we see when we look back in history and understand and look at all of these beautiful cathedrals where the hearts of the people were, and how even though they didn't have this feast day per se, in their hearts, in their minds, and in their wills, they were honoring Christ as King. After the Middle Ages in the 1500s, the Protestant revolt, the perversion of the Bible, the rejection of the Catholic truth, the twisting of it in Protestant religions, the French Revolution, the rejection of monarchies around the world, we look at society today and we ask the question, where is peace in society today? We know, as we have been told, there will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. And why is society in the mess that it's in? Well, go back to the Middle Ages. Were they warring against each other? Were they brutally killing each other? Obviously, with as human beings, there's always going to be some degree of contention. But in the Middle Ages, there was relative peace and harmony and true love with fellow men. Why? Because Christ was King in society. And so it's important historically for you to look at this and understand why we see the circumstances today, because with the French Revolution, with a so-called freedom, that we have the freedom to do whatever we want, which we don't, we have the law of God, we have the Ten Commandments, it is the truth that sets us free, and it is absolute freedom that makes us slaves, that binds us to cameras in every corner of the street, and a slave society, because the government thinks that it can make these rules and bind us in a circumstance in which they have taken or usurped the authority of Christ. And that is the difference. In a Catholic society, when you have true monarchies run by Catholic kings who honor first and foremost in their mind and in their heart and in their soul, Christ, His Church, the Ten Commandments, virtue, holiness, prayer, the sacraments, you have peace and harmony in society. And when Christ is rejected, we see warfare and we see the continued chaos in society. I don't say these negative things to get you discouraged, because one of the points of my sermon today, I hope you can take away, is to have utter confidence and peace in your soul, that despite what the future holds, what's going on in the world with the discord of different countries and the wars, Christ is King, His Church will endure until the end, and there will be peace at least in our own families, in our own homes, because we love and we honor Him. You know, St. Paul said some very interesting words concerning the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross here above the high altar, and in your homes, and wherever you can have a crucifix at the end of your rosary, everywhere. He said that the cross was folly to the Gentiles and a stumbling block to the Jews. And why is that? Because they didn't understand the mystery of the cross, our Lord's death, His passion and death, and His sufferings and love for us. As one theologian said, when the Pharisees were screaming out to Christ, come down from the cross, perform the miracle, come down from the cross and then we'll believe in you, what they were really saying is, come down from the cross, take the suffering part out of your religion, and we will follow you. And this is important to consider, because we know that the victory of Christ the King is intimately connected with our Lord's sufferings on the cross, and the saints understood this, and it's only going to be through prayer and meditation, not just these short words in this sermon that I'm giving you, but the fact that you will come into this chapel on your own during the week at a quiet moment that you can, or in your homes, and meditate on the sufferings of our Lord and realize that He is King from the cross, because through His sufferings on the cross, He has overcome Satan, death, and sin. And so there is something known as the wisdom of the cross that the saints understood. Because you know that Protestant theology is that he died 2,000 years ago for you and me, just believe. And that is wrong. That's 500-year-old heretical theology. And the 2,000-year-old teaching is that he died on the cross for you and me, for love of us, but he wants us to unite our own daily crosses with his. And that is why Saint Philomena was murdered at 13 years of age. I know we say martyrdom, and that's the right word. It means witness. She was a witness to the faith. But she stood her ground and died for the truth. And why? Because she united her sufferings with our divine Lord. And you are asked to do the same thing. Do not separate your daily lives from the cross of Christ. That's the point that I want to make. Do not think that the sufferings that you have are just annoyance, something that shouldn't be there, that you have to put up with, but I really don't want these things. The spirituality of the cross is to understand that I unite my frustrations in society, in my daily family life, and the sufferings that I have, that I unite them with our divine Lord and grow in love for him. And so I just want to make that point in this sermon today, that remember, we don't wake up one morning all of a sudden and say, I have so much faith today, or I have so much hope, or I am full of charity. No, it is sometimes a consolation that's given to us, a grace, but mostly it is worked at by prayer, by gazing upon the crucifix, by kissing our Lord's feet, by actually telling him that you love him, that you're sorry for your sins, and that you actually want to grow in a greater and deeper love for him, because he is King through the cross. And the spirituality of the cross is that it's not a distant thing. It's not a 2,000-year-old act that took place. And proof of that is that today you came to Sunday Mass, and what did you come to? But you came to Calvary. You've come to Calvary. As the Council of the Trent tells us, the Mass is the continuance of Calvary in an unbloody manner, the same thing. That's why, as you know, I have my back to you, why I'm offering the sacrifice to God and giving glory to him, because we are attending Calvary again today. So as we continue with Holy Mass, let us pray to understand this deeper. It is a very profound theology. We can either have a very shallow understanding or grow in a deeper understanding of our Lord's sufferings from the cross, his kingship from the cross. He is king over Satan, death, and sin. And we are called to unite our daily lives, our daily sufferings with his. So you all have them, your worries, your anxieties, your doubts, your concerns, all of those things that are intimate to you, the struggles that you have. Unite them with the sufferings of our divine Lord. He is King from the cross. And to the world, remember, we're living in a world, a paradigm of this world of pleasure, joy, fame, all of this external, like and subscribe, you know, selfish, selfie world, all the rest of it. The saints were the opposite and understood the spirituality of the cross, and that actually God sends sufferings to those whom he loves the most. It's hard for us to understand this, but he does that. We look at the lives of the saints and how much they suffered. That is why, as we know, spiritual reading is so important for us. So I just close with the words from the epistle today, that in him all fullness should dwell, that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross, in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.